Jesus shine. Fill this nation with the Father's glory. Praise God. Let the Holy Spirit rain down upon us this morning. And the glory of God shine upon us. And fill this nation with the Father's glory. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. This is the love of God touching our hearts this morning just for being here. Just for waking up this morning. You know, when we woke up this morning and stepped out of our comfortable bed, got dressed and headed off to church, what were we thinking? Did we say, well, today is Sunday, so everybody goes to church on Sunday, so I gotta go? Or did we say, I'm going where I can be in the presence of the Lord so that I can get all that he has to offer? See, God has a blessing for each and every one of us, but we just have to open our hearts, open our eyes, open our minds, open our hands, and receive what God has to give us. And he is willing to give us more than we're willing to ask for. Think about that. God, all-powerful, ever-present, is willing to give you more than you are willing to ask for. So it says, as Jabez says, broaden your horizon and start asking for the big stuff. He is able to provide. He's able to provide. He is not a limited God, and he doesn't have just a little bit, and if you take some, you're afraid somebody else won't get none. He's got enough for us all, and he asks us to ask him. Amen? Amen. I better get started before I lose my place. I'm going to read this morning from James. James chapter 1, verse 21. And it says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. He is saying to stop being dirty, stop being filthy. And then he says to lay aside all of that superfluity of naughtiness, meaning that naughtiness just flows from us. We don't have to do much. Naughtiness just comes out of us because we have a sinful nature. But he says that we can lay that apart. We can set that aside. And then he says the engrafted word. The engrafted word, so that you can receive the engrafted word. He is talking about implant. He's talking about an implant. Who knew? Who knew? See, we thought that implants were modern medicine, but the Holy Spirit has been doing it for centuries. And no, he doesn't force it on you. He doesn't just come in and force it on you. The word says, receive with meekness. You have to receive it without question, without any dispute or any resistance. Just receive it, because God is wanting to give it to you. And when we receive it, then we'll know we got it. When you receive it, you'll know you got it. So he said, lay aside all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word, which is able to save your soul. The word is able to save your soul. We've been dealing with that for a couple of weeks now. The word, which is able to save our souls. The Holy Spirit is now the spokesman. The Holy Spirit is the spokesman for God. He takes Jesus' words and he never adds anything to them, but he gives them to us as the unadulterated truth. The word of God, the unadulterated truth. he gives to us. And those words that he gives to us, God says, is life. The word of God is life. And how he gives them to us is through our spirit. The spirit speaks to our spirit, and he says to us what Jesus says. As in John 3:17, where it says that God didn't send his son into the world to condemn it, but he sent his son into the world so that the world would be saved through him. Think it, the world would be saved through him, for God so loved the world that the world would be saved through him. And then in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, come unto me, all who are laborers and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's going to save you, and now he's going to give you rest. So you see, you are his treasure, and you are his interest, and he is thinking only of you. In John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world, and those who follow me should never walk in darkness, but should have the light of life. Now you think, those scriptures that I just quoted, that if you have those in your spirit and you're walking in those, then you're going to be all right. You have the light of life because you have the light of God. And God's word is life. So when you have those, you're going to be all right. You don't have to be worried. You are in good hands. God's word has given you a promise that he will give you rest. But you have to first come to him again to receive God's word, that engrafted word, that word that have been planted in your spirit, in your heart. See, this is the reason that we are to meditate on the word of God. We are to meditate on the word of God, you see, because the word does not become real to us until we know it. And when we know it, then we are able to do it. Don't know it, no do it. You have to know it. And we have to make it a point or make that decision in our life to set aside some time to be still. Be still and listen to what God has to say. We have to do that. We have to listen to what God has to say. You see, some people run around and they want to get other people's advice. Yo, what should I do about this? What do you think about this? If that is what you're doing, that is bad doctrine. You don't want to get other people's advice. You want to be still and listen to see what God has to say about it. That is where you get the truth, and that is where you find life, and that is where you find the solution to all of your problems. God stands ready again to give us more than we're willing to ask for. You see, we get the idea sometimes that, you know, this is too little. I shouldn't talk to God about this because, you know, he's got bigger things to worry about. God is concerned about every facet of your life. You are God's greatest treasure. And when we think again of God's words that he has promised us, life, and never leaving, never forsaking us, meaning that he is with us at all times, and whatever we do concerns him, because the Holy Spirit has come to live within you when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. He says in his word that my Father and I will come and make our abode in you. Joseph, he's with you at all times. So he's concerned about what you see. He's concerned about what you say. He's concerned about what you hear. And he is mostly concerned about what you do. That is why we meditate on the word of God, so that we can learn the word of God. Then we can do the word of God. Because knowing it and being able to say it will not get you where you need to be in the kingdom. You must do it. You must do it. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. I love the way you put it, your own self. You're not deceiving anybody. You are deceiving your own self when you hear the word and don't do it. That is the word of God. So his words are life to those who hear it. And the word is medicine to those who find it. So God's word is life. It's important that we know God's word. But it is more important to do God's word than it is to know God's word. That's what we need to get in our system. But you see, we can't do it if we don't know it. When we don't know it, it's just out there. It's just like having a bank account set up for you by a good old grandma, the one who's been praying for you all these years. Oh, my grandma prays for me all the time. And my grandma put $1 million in the bank for you. But if you don't go use it, it ain't going to do you no good. You have got to access it. And this is God's word. You have to access God's word. You have to walk in God's word. It is when you do not do, or when you are out of the will of God, that's when things are hard. That's when things are hard. But if you're walking in the will and in the way that God set down for you to go, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you're walking in the will of God, when you have submitted yourself to God, then life can be great for you. And we can see this in all the examples that was written in the word for us. All of that is in here. And we say, well, you know, that doesn't happen anymore because that was then. And this is now, and things are different. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, it says, I am the Lord. I change not. So if it was good for them, it is good for you. But the problem is we have to do what they did to get what they got. And they followed the word of God. They trusted the word of God. This is where we have to walk in our walk with God. Walk in what God says. And follow his instructions. Jesus Christ came so that you might live through him. That you might live through him. You have to do what he did. Follow him. Follow his word. And stand on his principles. The doctrine of Jesus Christ is that he came and died for the sins of the world so that you don't have to. Now think of that. He died so that you don't have to. What does that say? It says that if we trust in him and believe in him, we may leave this earth, but we shall never die. We should never die. And that is his words. Those who believeth in me, though they are dead, yet shall they live. But those who are alive and believe in me shall never die. That is enough to give us inspiration. That is enough to motivate us. You see, because everybody understands, and sometimes, not fear, but you just don't want to leave here yet. But Paul said to die is gain. To die is gain. Because that way we get to see him face to face. And that is our purpose in our walk with him, to see him face to face. I'm talking about following the word of God. And when we do that to the best of our ability, then God is with us. God is with us. He will never leave nor forsake us. He tells us in his word that he stands at the door and knock. All you have to do is open the door. If you open the door, then he says, I will come in and fellowship with you. You are one step away from God. One step. And that is you having made the decision to open that door. He will not force himself upon you. He said that you may receive the engrafted word of God with meekness. You have to receive it. He's not going to force it upon you. He's a loving God, a God of mercy, and a God of compassion. Jesus said when he left, he said, I will go now, but I'm going to send the comforter. I'm going to send the comforter. Somebody to keep you company. Somebody to comfort you. Somebody to handle all of the rough stuff for you so that you can have that peace. That peace that he left for you. My peace I leave you. Not the peace of the world, but my peace I leave you. And that is the peace that passes all understanding. And that is what he wants us to have. Thus, he says, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't be stressed about anything. Trust me. Allow me to handle those things for you. And how does he do it? He sends the Holy Spirit with his word. And the Holy Spirit imparts that word to you. And when you meditate on that word, learn how to read that word, learn how to walk in that word, then you can have all of the things that he promised you. That is what he asked us to do. His word is power. You know what Hebrews says? Hebrews 4:12 says that God's word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, with the ability to cut or divide the spirit and the soul, the bone and the marrow. And he knows our thoughts. Says, and to know the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. You understand what he's saying here? He knows what we're thinking, and he knows the intentions of our heart. Are we thinking it for us or for the good of the kingdom? What is in your heart? The word of God says that God knows what's in your heart. It should give us, again, that motivation to keep our hearts pure. And if he knows our thoughts, we don't want to think things that goes against his will. We want to keep our thoughts clean also. Jesus is involved and stands ready to do whatever needs to be done to make this walk a pleasant and safe walk. In other words, I think he wants us to be happy. I think he wants us to be happy. He says in Matthew 11:29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart. And my yoke will give your soul rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, he doesn't want us to stress. He doesn't want us to be troubled. He wants us to do what he does and follow him, and everything will be easy and your burdens will be light. The word of God is powerful and quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. Gets right to the point. But we have to follow his word. It is imperative that you follow his word. God's word, we discovered or we studied the other night, only has two sides. And that is yea and nay. The maybes and the mights, ifs, buts, all of those are out. It is yea or nay. And that is where our hearts have to go. That this is a line that I will not cross. No, I will not do that. Well, I might if you... No. I will not do that. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Following God's word. He gives us an example in the book of Matthew. I want to go to Matthew And I want to look at Matthew 13. And I'll start at Matthew 13. He says, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside." When he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside. And he goes on to say that the fowls of the air swooped down and ate it right away, took it away. And then he says some of the seed fell in some rocky soil to where it didn't get deep roots. So when the sun came up, it withered and went away real quick. And then some of the seed fell amongst the thorns and the thistles, it says, and the thorns and the thistles grew up and choked it out. Nothing. But then it says that some of the seed fell on good ground. Some of the seed fell on good ground, and it produced a crop, and the crop was some 30%, some 60%, and some 100%. And then he goes on to explain what he was talking about when he gave him this parable. He went on to say what he was talking about. And over in verse 18, watch. He said, "Hear therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and quickly with joy receive it. But it had no root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation or trouble and persecution arise because of that word, by and by he is offended." He quits. Again, nothing. "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bear fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 100. What he just gave us is our lot in life. You see, he is saying here that the sower, or the planter, sowing is planting, because we're not farmers. We gotta define these things. But the sower, or the man, or the farmer, is God. The seed that he was sowing is the word. And the ground and its conditions, those different conditions that the ground had, those are the people. So the parable is describing for us the relationship between humanity and God, or the lack thereof. You see, when God speaks the word and it falls on the wayside, it means that we just don't pick it up. We don't even bother with it. It bounces off of us, in other words. And the devil comes and swoops it away right quick so that you don't never pick it back up again. So you just lose it. So therefore, you're unfruitful. You have no word. And when you have no word, then what? Things are hard for you. Things are tough for you. And then he talks about the one where it fell on stony ground. Fell on the people who's kind of hard-headed. They hear it. They get it and hear it. But when somebody say, hey, man, you done change your ways here. You're a Christian. Oh, no, I am. They don't want to be involved with it. So again, they're not fruitful. And then it says it falls on the thorns and the thistles, falls in the weeds, in other words. But in the weeds, it catches on. And it begins to grow. It says, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes it out. You see, we get it, and we want to do it, and we tell people about it, but just as soon as COVID shows up, the cares of the world, you know, the things that causes us to think or causes us a little nerve, we forget about the Word of God, and we start to scramble to fix it ourselves. Or it says the deceitfulness of riches. When we get these fly-by-nights or these get-rich-quick schemes, we tend to deal with those, and we forget about God's financial plan, and we go to work on our own. You know, if I can just get one hit on the slot machine, if I can just hit one time on that, that'll give me a good start, and I can do this, that, or the other. Or if I hit the lottery, your mind gets off of God's divine plan, and you start, and then you become unfruitful. Again, you don't have time now to spread the word. You're too busy drumming up the other stuff, the cares of the world and the riches. But then the good ground are the people that we were just discussing earlier in the message, that those people who have made the decision to follow Christ. I want what God has to offer, and I want it because it is right. I want it because I feel the affection or the love of Christ, and I want to be like Christ. And you come and you hear the word, and it sticks. And it sticks. But it also says that we all have different levels and different abilities, because some of us hear that word and we go out and we can regurgitate it and pass it on. And because we can regurgitate it and pass it on, it builds our curiosity and it builds our appetite, and we want more of it because what we got was so good. We say there's got to be some more, so we will dig into it to where we become proficient in sharing the word of God with those we come in contact with, and we just don't stop because we don't care what anybody else has to say about it. That's 100-fold. That's 100-fold. But he said some of them only ends up with 60, but they got some, and they're doing the best they can, but they didn't get that other 40% because they are a little slower than the first guy, but they'll get there if they keep moving forward. You know, they didn't get it all. They got enough to make them, again, hungry for more. They share what they got, but they keep digging and clawing, trying to get more. That's the 60%, because they're not going to give it up. And then it says some get 30%. You see, they're a little slower than the 60s, but that's not bad because they're headed in the right direction. They're headed in the right direction. We have to look at the parable of the talents. You see, God gave one of them 5, one of them 2, and another one 1. He said according to their abilities. See, if he'd have gave the one who he gave 1 5, he wouldn't have known what to do with it. He would have probably went out and spent it all on drugs and rock and roll. But he wouldn't have done what he could do with it because he didn't have the motivation. But he said the one who had 5, he went out right away and started to trade and to buy and to do business with it, and he doubled it. And the one who gave 2, he couldn't have dealt with the 5, but with the 2 that he had, Oh, he could handle that because that was in his realm. So he did the same thing. He went out with the two and did everything that he could do with the two, and he doubled it. The one he gave one, he gave him the one because the guy wasn't motivated. He didn't do nothing with it. He said, this ain't enough to do nothing with, and I don't want to do nothing anyway, so I'll just bury this till he comes back. And that's what he did. He buried it. So you see, the guy with the 100, he was a little more adept. So the guy with the 30, he's not as bright or as adept as the one with the 100, but he's doing what he can with what he has. So if you're not, your retention is not as good as your neighbor's, don't feel bad, because you got what you got, and you're doing with what you got the best you can do. So you can't quote all the scriptures that you heard. You only quote the one that you like the best. That's yours. See, you quote that. But your neighbor, he can quote 12 or 13 of them. But what is he doing with them when you quote them? But you quote one, and you do the best you can with that one, then you're doing 100% more than he's doing. God has given each one of us a measure of faith, and God gives us each a gift. And when we use that according to the will of God, then we've done what God intended us to do. Each and every one of us have a mission and a purpose in life, and that's what God expects us to do. But if we don't know, we can't do. We have to, again, go all the way back to Joshua. Go all the way back to Joshua. God told Joshua, do not let the word depart from your mouth, but meditate in it day and night so that you can observe to do it. Read it, Joshua. Learn it, Joshua. And then do it. Do not let it pass out of your mouth, but meditate in it day and night. That is where you learn it. And once you learn it, then you can observe to do it. That's what he's asking us to do. And that's what we have to do in order to follow God's divine instruction. Do what the word says do. Be ye therefore a doer of the word, not just a hearer only, because then you're deceiving yourself. Deceiving yourself. Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15, what does he say? He says, study to show yourself approved so that you can rightly divide the word of truth. And he tells us that for a specific reason and purpose. He says, rightly divide the word. You see, because you can wrongly divide the word. So he makes it clear that you are to rightly divide the word. But you have to know it to do that. If you just pick up a couple of phrases that sounds cool that you can say to make people believe that you're where you ought to be in your walk with Christ, then you're deceiving yourself. God's word, again, is quick and powerful. Able to divide the spirit from the soul. And it knows your thoughts and the intentions of your heart. So being able to quote the scriptures, your intentions is to impress those around you, but it does not impress him, because you don't know, you just say. So I appeal to you this morning. I appeal to you this morning. Don't just read the book. Meditate on the book. Meditate on the word. So that you will be able to observe to do it. And when you do that, he says that you can can make your way prosperous, and you can be a big success. A good success is what he says. I say big because that gets more attention. Right? You can be a big success. So Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Meditate on the words that's in this book. Don't just let them come out of your mouth. Meditate on them so that you can make your way prosperous. You can make your way prosperous. And then you can be a good success. God has provided everything for us to be what he wants us to be. And the Holy Spirit takes the words of God and reveals them to us so that we can be on praise with God. That is what the Holy Spirit does. He is the spokesman of this time. And he only speaks the word. He was not going to give you anything that's outside the word of God. What I have given to you or received of the Lord,